us this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Amen. It's kind of fitting that today is January 1st, 2023. It's like it's a new beginning. We get to hit the reset button and start anew. But God is still the same. Amen?
Amen.
God is still the same as yesterday, today, and forever. But we get to think a little differently or have a different mindset. It's a new beginning. New beginnings can be scary at times, and it can be awesome at the same time. Whenever you do something new, change is good. Amen? Sometimes it's hard, but it's good. And this morning we're going to sing Fight My Battles, Surrounded. We've sung this many times. And this morning we were going over it. In verse 2, this one line just really spoke to me this morning. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. Say that. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. Are you thankful to be here this morning? Are you thankful that you made it here? Amen. Are you thankful that we have a beautiful place to come to and worship Jesus Christ? And we can lay our burdens at His feet. And our weapons are praise and thanksgiving. Praise. Did you come to praise Jesus this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Father, we just thank You, Lord, that we are here to worship and praise You. We thank You that we have an opportunity to have a different mindset this morning, God. Father, I just pray that we are able to lay our burdens at Your feet and worship You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. We just praise Your holy name. We are thankful this morning, God. We are thankful, Lord, that You are with us always, Lord. That You are our hope. You are our joy. You're our peace. And You are love. No matter what is going on around us, in us, at our jobs, at our homes, with our children, with families, God, You are still God. And we are able to worship and praise You. We thank You, Lord. Amen.
Fight my battles. This is how.
Started out the service as a reminder how we start out the new year here. And that song we just sang, "This is how I fight my battles," how fitting. We're going into a season of fasting and prayer here at Life Tree, and maybe you are as well. We hope you join us to some extent. But our country needs prayer. Have you noticed? Our communities need prayer. It was on my heart again this morning. That we have people in prisons in this nation, in a free country, in prisons for 2 years, that have yet to be able to exercise under the Constitution their right to a free and speedy trial. 2 years doesn't cut it. There's so many other things that we see coming against us, not only as a nation, as a free people, but as a church. But I'll tell you what, our God is more than able to overcome everything. This is how we fight our battles. Prayer, thanksgiving, worship. So today, as we go into this next song, let the presence of God just pervade your heart. It's a throne room song. Alleluia. We worship the Most High God. Glory to His name. Amen, church. Amen. Glory to His name. He is mighty in battle. He is mighty, the mighty conqueror. Alleluia. Our Lord, all God Almighty reigns. Amen. Sing with us. Alleluia.
All of heaven, we are. singing. Come on again.
With us, Emmanuel.
restore the healing of all disease. And I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus.
Thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you that you've given a voice that we can say that you are good. We thank you, God, that no matter what we face from day to day, God, we can give you praise and we can give thanks to you, God. And we can say, God, that you are the most amazing God. You are the only God. You are the powerful God. You are full of love and mercy, and you're faithful to us, God, even when we're not faithful. You remain faithful, your word says. Even when our hearts condemn us. God, we just give you thanks. We give you praise, God. We're thankful, God, for 2023. God, we don't know how many more years you're going to allow us on this earth, God. But God, I pray nonetheless that we remain a powerful people. We remain a faithful people. God, I pray encouragement, God, in this house today. Where those that are discouraged, that they would be encouraged. Where they feel like they've been fighting the same old battle day after day after day. But I just want to encourage you to stay in the water. Stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit, because when the wave comes, when you're in the water, you're going to get hit with it, right? The wave's going to hit you if you're in the water. But if you separate yourself, if you become isolated, if you become distant to God, if the wave comes, it's not going to hit you because you're not in the water. God, I pray that you would begin to draw us back, God, into the water. You know, a few weeks ago, you gave me the word abide, that you want this house to abide, to just stay in your presence. Praise me and worship me. Stay in my presence. Because when the wave comes, God wants to find us in the water. He wants to find us in the presence. So when he's ready to do something really big and really amazing, there will be worshiping him, praising him, giving thanks to him. God, we pray for our brother Gordon this morning, God. And I pray, God, that you would just touch his heart in Jesus' name. I bind every demon that's come to oppress him. And I speak freedom over Gordon's life from a spirit of bondage. And I pray healing, God, into his soul in Jesus' name. God, we pray for this nation. You know, many months ago, the Lord put the word in my spirit that we're to engage just like Joshua did. If you remember when Joshua prayed and he prayed that the sun would stop. We know that the peoples of the earth at that time, they worshipped the sun. But Joshua prayed and basically took their God out by just commanding the sun to stop. God has made his people a powerful people when we pray. Amen. That's why we're taking this time aside for this 3 weeks to get back into the presence, to be in the place of abiding. So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be a powerful people. How about you? That's what we're supposed to be. It's part of our identity as a son and daughter of God. We are a powerful people. We carry the very presence of God within us. God, we're just so thankful that you have given us the opportunity and the ability to be your children. Jesus, we just love you. We just thank you. We thank you for this house. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for every single person that's part of this house. May you bless them, God. Bless them financially. Bless them with health. Bless their families to know Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus that you would break those stubborn spirits, God, that keep our loved ones out of church, that keep our loved ones out of your presence. In Jesus' name, we agree together. We break those stubborn spirits in Jesus' name. God, I just declare over my mom right now that there will be no broken bones. There will be no after effects of that fall this morning in Jesus' name. I just speak health and wholeness and healing over Norma's body right now in Jesus' name. God, just fill this place with your presence, God. Come upon us today in a special way, God. Just fill this place, Lord. Be with those that aren't here for whatever reason, God, that you would just touch them right now, God. That your spirit would just go to them, be with them, bless them, God. Bring them joy, God. Bring them faith, God. God, we open our hearts to receive your word this morning. Lord, we ask your divine intervention in our nation, in our cities, in our states. God, we ask that you would put an individual at the helm of our nation right now, in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you would put a president in place, God, that will uphold the Constitution. God, we bind every demon at work through our politicians, through our president, through the vice president, in Jesus' name. And we ask, God, that you would put a man or a woman in place, God, that will follow the Constitution in Jesus' name, that will preserve our freedoms, that will preserve life. Our nation is not too far gone for the long arm of God. God, we come against those times where the enemy of our soul is trying to change times and laws. We come against that spirit of acceleration from hell that's trying to expedite this nation to the pit of hell. In Jesus' name, and we declare the glory of God. We declare salvation. We declare miracles. We declare deliverance over this nation in Jesus' name. We pray this generation, God, of young people will rise up and be filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. We take them back for Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that your Spirit is moving across this nation even now, God, as we agree with your love and with your power, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for a great move of God coming upon the young people. God, coming upon the churches, God, that we would be truth declaring churches, truth declaring people of God. Lord, you haven't left us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We just come against the powers of hell and we declare the glory of God over this nation, over our families, over our cities. Governing bodies of our nation. God, I pray that you would put a zeal in our hearts, Lord, to just go after it. Just rebuke this tired spirit of being worn down. We reject it in Jesus' name. Declare good news. We come against the monotony of bad news. We declare good news in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we open our hearts to receive your word. God, meet us right where we're at. We turn ourselves in right now, God, of all the stupid things that we choose to do. And we just come into your presence the way we are, just the way we are, we come to you today. You're not limited by our stupidity. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I am. God, we love you. Just fill this house with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Bring your word like a fire in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Encourage someone this morning. Tell them they're amazing. Tell them good things are on the horizon today.
You may be thinking, get rid of that receiver, get rid of that cord, get rid of that microphone, which are parts of these things. And I'm not so sure it's any of those three things. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. I have a car like that. I call it a gremlin, right? Praise Jesus. We're going to give it a shot. If it's not working, we're going to move to plan B. We always have a plan B around here. We just sometimes don't know what it is in advance. How's everybody doing? I want to encourage you, I hope I will. There's no better place for you to be on the first day of the new year than in the house of God. Worshiping with the family of God. I'll read the passage for you today that we have. It's found in the book of Luke chapter 2. And I'll move into the message. As we start out, if you feel that it's past the Christmas season, well, it's past December 25th. I get that. But it's never past the Christmas season. It's always time to celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ to this earth. The Son of God sent to us. Amen. It is always time to that. And it's like, and plus, I'm not done. We are on Faith Journeys 2002 Christmas Edition, Part 4. This probably will be the last one. I've had it on my heart to move into a series, and I haven't found the title for it yet. Have you ever been to Wegmans? Apparently the Wegmans, yeah, probably a lot of you have all been there. There's a sub there that I like. It's called Danny's Favorites. You know what I'm talking about? It has a lot of good stuff on it, all of which I tend to like. So I almost entitled the series Donald's Favorites, but I thought that was kind of pompous. So I didn't do that. I'm looking for a name. If you have one, send it to me. I won't promise you I use it because it has to stir my spirit. But I want to go. God's been calling me to revisit certain passages that to me are hot. I'll call them, forgive me if I'm not demeaning the rest of the Word of God, of course, but they're high water marks in the Scripture that can really just bring something to us that connect us so with the power of God and the will of God and the Word of God, and I'm really looking to move that forward. So I think that's where we're going next. This will probably be the last in this series. Faith Journeys. If you have your Bibles, found the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east I'm sorry. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star." Don't miss that. "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh." God, I pray that you reveal to us from your word a story that at times we could even be in our minds prejudiced, thinking we know. But God, your word is alive, and it's active, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray for revelation, dear God, not information, but revelation in this service and in your word. As your word is brought forth, you promised us something. It will not return void without accomplishing the purpose for which you have sent it. So God, I pray, Father, you'll stir our hearts today, transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You're probably tired of hearing me say that I love journeys. I love most journeys. Some journeys are better than others, but I love to travel. And often my messages will be kind of parceled around a journey or a trip. The metaphor there you can see, because we know in this world we are what we call life's journeys, right? We've all heard that. You're on life's journeys, and you've heard when things go bad, what does somebody say? "Oh, that's just another pothole in the journey of life," right? You've heard that expression. And I have too. I've hit some of those potholes myself. I have a couple things. I hope they work well here to really just liven your spirits. This is about journeys. My airline sent me an email during COVID travel with this title: "We're all in this together." Yeah, where were you when my suitcase was half a pound overweight? Yeah, if you traveled, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Where were you when I needed your help, right? $25, please. All right, here's one. Now, pay attention carefully. As a traveling sound engineer for concerts in Europe, I met a lot of people. I have a friend who's Ukrainian. I have a Czech one, too. Oh, come on. All right, now this one's a little dicey. As I say this to you, I'm not endorsing drinking or smoking, right? I'm just not endorsing that. I'm not here to give a message on that one way or the other. But I'm going to say it anyway because I think it's funny. A traveling salesman knocks on a door, which is opened by a 12-year-old boy in a bathrobe, holding a cigar and drinking a glass of brandy. The salesman is shocked, but manages to say, "Excuse me, son, is your dad home?" The kid responds, "What do you think?" I like that one. I can just see a 12-year-old boy saying something snappy like that. All right, now there you go. You know, and I know if you study speech, they'll often encourage speakers to start with something funny. And sometimes I don't feel led to do that. It's not that I'm being overly serious. It's the matter, it's just there's that sometimes that somber attitude that we need to continue on. And then sometimes there's almost like a barrier. And I've noticed this, that laughter breaks those barriers, as does connections with one another, by the way. We've come into this house today to worship Jesus Christ and to talk about those who came to worship him. We read the story we know so well out of Matthew. I'm actually going to be touching into the passage of in the book of Luke also about the shepherds, because they were on a journey. The shepherds were on a journey. And so were the Magi, these wise men from the east. We'll talk much more about them today. So if you're going to take a journey, I've broken it down for us in a couple simple parts. I hope it helps. So those would say, you know, I don't really, you know, some would say, I don't really need those outlines. I don't like those outlines. That's fine. But I will say this, and I've found in time that sometimes it helps us gather the thoughts that God is going to say, and all of a sudden, oh, I get that. I'm trying to connect the thoughts here and connect the dots. So finding him is the focus of this message. These shepherds and these wise men were trying to find Jesus Christ. And as you go on any trip, the elements that I'm going to bring forward today are very common. The first one is the directions. Now, if you're going to somewhere you've never been before, I know we count on our cell phones, and well, I'll say our GPS, it's almost all cell phones these days, but I will say this, if you try to find your way up around where we live and then you put the address in, you're going to have a problem, because unless you have a specific carrier, the other carriers won't work, and you're going to wish you had a map. You remember the days of the maps, right? And they're folded up in your glove box. And does anybody put gloves in their glove box, by the way? I don't know. That's kind of a weird, that's what I call it. But anyway, you need directions to know where you're going, and you'll remember in these stories. And I will read a little bit out of Luke today to help bring clarity, not the whole passage. But each of these groups of people, these wise men and these shepherds, they were given direction. And I want to talk about that, because this was not a direction when they had a map and they were ready to go. They needed direction. So I'm going to start, if you want to have your Bibles with you, you want to keep your finger there or your little ribbon in the book of Matthew. I'll be going back and forth to that, because I'm going to touch on each of these sets of travelers during each of the series here. And first is the directions. Now, in the Christian realm, it's been well said by those who are students of the Word, and I tend to agree with them, that our ways to understand Jesus Christ, our ways to understand God and connect with Him, direction is given to us. God did not leave us without a message. And God did not leave us without a messenger. They would say, and I tend to agree, there's the ways of revelation, the larger groups that have been given to us, is God's Word. We recognize that. This is God's instruction book and directions. Not just how to live, but more importantly, how to know Jesus Christ. How to know who God the Father is. This is how we need to not only connect with God, but also understand to live. The instructions are in here. I got a leaf blower the other day. It's a battery-powered leaf blower. I'm sorry. Actually, I already had the leaf blower. Now I got the hedge trimmer. And it is so cool. It is so cool. We made sure our daughters each had one, because I thought they were so cool. My daughter, Callie, sent me a picture today of her blowing her granddaughter's hair back, because she was just having a great time. She even says she cleans her house with it on the inside. She gets all the dust in the corner. She just does it very carefully and gets all the stuff out from under the cupboards. It's a very simple tool, but I've noticed it comes with directions. And I've actually done things together and done home projects, and I put the directions aside, and I found it didn't go well. I really ended up drilling in the metal at the wrong place, and you can't fix that. And if it gets too complicated, I call Chris, and he comes and fixes it for me. So thank you. But we need directions. So the ways of revelation are the Word of God. Okay, we recognize that. The second is, it's nature. Nature reveals to us God. Nature is not God. That's what separates Christianity from almost all the world religions, the pantheisms, where they worship nature. They worship the creation instead of the creator, who is blessed forever, Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. Nature reveals the handiwork of God. Then the heavens declare his glory, Psalm 107:2 says. The very heavens declare his glory. You can see the heavens and know that there's a God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, for that which is known about God has been evident to them, because God made that evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes in divine nature have been revealed to mankind by what was made. You know there's a God because looking around what's been made. God is not silent. In fact, quite the contrary. God has been made evident to us. But we know man has chosen to simply disregard the Word of God and the revelation through nature. Next is the Holy Spirit in the supernatural realm. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and if you're in tune with what His Word and His presence, that there's often you can get these unctions, directions in your life that saying, "I know that's from God. The Holy Spirit has been revealed and has given me this confirmation." And we get those kind of strange events that happen in our life that we have to evaluate and say, "Is this God speaking or not?" It's like dreams. I have dreams, and sometimes I'm trying to figure out, God, is this you, or is it the pepperoni pizza? Trying to figure it out. And lastly is the incarnation. Jesus Christ coming to earth. God put on flesh and dwelt among us, right? God has revealed Himself through the incarnation. And that's why, in fact, that's the story we're talking about today, that God has revealed Himself in man. And we know from the historical Word of God and from accounts of not just the Word of God, but historians of the day, that Jesus came, He lived, He died, He rose again. He was a miracle worker. He fulfilled all the mandates of the Old Testament requirements for what the Messiah would be doing. He's the Son of God in the flesh. Unfortunately for these groups that we're talking about, these travelers, they didn't have the incarnate Jesus yet. They hadn't seen Him yet, but they've heard about Him in certain ways. They've heard about Him through the Word of God. They've heard about Him through nature. They've heard about Him, the shepherds, through supernatural manifestation of the angels. So we're going to start there in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read just a couple verses. It's a story you're all familiar with. We know that verses 1 through 7, Joseph and Mary are in Bethlehem. Jesus is born in the stable, laid in a stall because there was no room for them in the inn. This is a story you're familiar with. And then verse 8, the angels begin to appear, the shepherds. They were outside of Bethlehem keeping watch over the flocks by night. And in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the flocks, on the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terribly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Messiah, Christ the Lord." Verse 11, is born to you a Savior. The word there in the Greek is a sotar. It's a deliverer. It's what Jesus does. Jesus does. You can see it's intermittent. Can I have that microphone, please?
Thank you. Sotar has been given you a Savior. It's what Jesus does, who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. That's who He is. That's His title. He is the anointed one. He is the expected one. So this is you've received a Savior, and this Savior is the Messiah. It's the Savior is what, in fact, you remember when the angel Gabriel comes to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, he instructs him what's taking place. Mary is with child. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's not a man. And she will bear you a son, and you will name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sin. The word Jesus there, Yeshua, it's the same from the Hebrew, Yeshua. And it's God is salvation. It is God's salvation. This is the name of the child that they're going to find. And it's funny that it says there in verse 11 and 12. Now, I've preached on this and I've read this passage many times. And I'm sure you have too. And notice that little phrase there. The angel's given these shepherds directions. They're getting some directions. They took the notepads out or their iPad or whatever they recorded it on. And they're writing this down. Okay, where do I go? The city of David. Now, you study the Old Testament. Now, we know that David was the son of Jesse, and he was a shepherd. They were shepherds in Bethlehem. However, as David moved forward in his kingship, and he would ultimately unite the nations, Israel up north, Judah and Benjamin down south. He would be the king over all the nations. It didn't last very long, only two or three generations, and they were split again. It sounds like a church. But they were united under King David. He was so excited that he brought the Ark of the Covenant. You remember, he was dancing before the Ark of the Covenant, and Uzzah did the foolish thing and stuck his hand out when the oxen began to tumble. Maybe they'll make that one of my highlight messages, because I love that passage. You might hear that in the coming weeks. I love that passage. But anyway, and Uzzah is stricken down for his irreverence. But David finally brings it into a place that is now adjoining to Jerusalem, and it's called the City of David. And it's not Bethlehem. Now, that's not a big deal, okay? They're both ultimately in the scripture known as the City of David. The City of David, if you go to Jerusalem today, you can go to the City of David, the one connected to Jerusalem. But there's also Bethlehem, the City of David, because that's where he hailed from. And that's the one that the angels were talking about. And this is the one the shepherds would be familiar with. You see, David was a shepherd. They had this kinship going on with him. Did you ever notice that people of the same occupation have a kinship? You can travel far and wide, but if you're an electrician, or if you're a musician, or if you're in healthcare, or if you're an educator, all of a sudden, you've got this common connection. Well, they got this common connection with David, and they would have, to them, the City of David would have been Bethlehem. Pretty simple. Okay, well, that was striking to me. It may not have been as striking to you, but I thought it was pretty cool. But the angels gave the instruction, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, I did some study on this, as I often do, and I thought this was interesting, because I'm going to break this down. I'm going to break down, this will be the sign. In fact, in Young's, it's called Young's Literal Translation. Like, in respect to the English, according to Young's translation, it's as close as you can get to the original translation. Well, sometimes that's not all that important, but to me on this verse, it's very important. Because Young's Literal Translation says this, and this is to you the sign. Okay, there's a sign you need to be looking for when you go to the City of David, Bethlehem. It's the sign. And I want to say that because this, the sign is you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, that's not that uncommon in the day. But what's unheard of is the child is laying in an animal's feeding trough. Unheard of. Why would you put your child? I mean, back then, you say they didn't have the cleanly standards that we have today. I get that, but you don't put your child in a feeding trough for the animal. Unless there is nowhere else that you have access to. And then you got to be MacGyver and do what you got to do, right? Okay. Well, that's what they did. That's what Mary and Joseph, they were very creative. They probably was, I'm guessing there would have been straw there in the stable that they were in, or whatever the facility was, because there was animal straw, is able to retain body heat, but all that. So the sign, and I want to say that to say this, church, when Jesus comes, it's not what you'd expect sometimes. And appearances are deceiving. It's not always what you expect. I expect Jesus to take me to church and I'm not going to get hurt. I'm just going to be frank here. Yeah, it's like, Jesus, what's going on? That's what I'm asking. Sometimes things that we don't expect are taking place and we don't understand. And so what he's preparing them for is, I believe this, you're going to find this baby, but be prepared. It's not going to be in Jerusalem at the king's palace. No, and it's going to be in Bethlehem. But it's going to be, you're going to find this child in a manger. And I say that to say that. Let me give you an example. In Lock Haven, there's a number of restaurants. My opinion is there's not a lot of good ones. It's not just Lock Haven. I could simply say that about Jersey Shore too. That's okay. There's only one or two. There's restaurants, but some are better than others. Pizza King is at the top of the list, or near it, right? It's really good. You like pizza. But if you've ever gone to the Village, it's an old house. It's called the Village. And you look at the place, and it's like, this is somebody's house, and it's got a big vent sticking out the window. They must have put a stove in there. But it's one of the most popular restaurants in Lock Haven and in the area. The Village, right? It's good food. It's great food, actually. And so what I'm saying is this, I think what the angel is doing is preparing these people. These shepherds would have known about the Messiah. They were good Jews. They would have known the Messiah was coming. And what he's saying is this, don't get your hopes up and miss something. Here's what you need to look for. This is not going to be what you expect. This child is in a manger. And the second part of that verse is equally as important, if not more so. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. This is the sign. And laying in, Young's literal translation says this, laying in the manger. Laying in the manger. Now, it was clearly a region where there would have been a number of sheep farms. We'll call them sheep farms. I think that's what they're called them. Probably would have been a number of stables, things like that. But the angel is specific, and I believe, my perspective, and it would be the perspective of others, that this translation is correct. Because think how long, if you had to say, you know what, go to Jersey Shore and look for a baby laying in a barn. Well, okay, we're not a big farming community, but we are. And how many barns are around here? There's a lot. It's going to be a long journey. God's giving directions. He says, it's the manger. And I believe that meaning, I believe those words have exact meaning. It's the manger that you're looking for. In Micah chapter 4, verse 8, the Micah had prophesied. You remember that he had prophesied in verse 5. We talked about that last week. But now Micah in chapter 4 says this, O you tower of the flock. We call it, it's in the Hebrew, it's Migdal Ador, the tower of the flock. To you shall, it shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. The king was coming. And so when they said to these shepherds, it's the manger, it is believed, and certainly I will say this, it's believed by me to be the truth, that they came to the, not just a feeding stall, but to the Migdal Ador. And you'll find this baby laying, because the Migdal Ador is the place, it was the tower of the flock. They would watch, many of the shepherds would be able to watch over the fields in that particular facility. And it is said that underneath it was like a stable, and there was, the animals would be raised there, and then sent out the pasture to these other shepherds working the night shift. The manger. Lying in the manger. That God was giving these shepherds direction. Now, that's their directions. Go to the city of David. You're going to find the child. Here's the sign to you. The child will be wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger. It was a little different for these wise men. Their directions were completely different. I've done a good bit of studying on this. I will not give you a book report. That's not what I'm here for. But I will read a couple of the things that this author, I think he did an excellent job, establishes his science quite well. As far as I know, his science and his astronomy has not been refuted. But these wise men were different people. They were not shepherds. These wise men, we call them, and you know the song, We Three Kings. But you've heard, we don't know how many kings they were. We know how many gifts there were. But they came from the Parthian Empire up in what is today Iraq. And these were royal people. They may not have been kings, but they were likely princes and high offices. It's like Daniel. Daniel, because of his wisdom, Nebuchadnezzar put him in charge of all of the magicians and the wise men of the nation, because Daniel was gifted by God. He was in high ranking. And so these wise men, they came from the east, and they came into looking for something. And so I want to talk about these people, because they were today. I tried to draw a parallel, and here it is. This would be like NASA today, okay? NASA. These are the equivalent people of NASA of their day. Now, they didn't have any rockets to send up, as far as we know, but they were brilliant people, and they were students of the stars. We don't really focus on much on that today, as far even socially, our scientists don't give us at least. Publicly, a lot of information about the planets predicting future events. I know there's certain astrology that we have been required by God and instructed to stay away from those types of things. But we also know that the book of Genesis tells us that it's in chapter 1, that these stars and the planets are given as signs. There's meaning to them. That's my point. God has put what we look as chaos up there. Did you ever see the Milky Way at night? Now, I live in Waterville. I got a bunch of great neighbors, and they're almost all seasonal tenants. And when they come, and I get to meet them for the first time, I have a nice conversation with them. I said, I will be your guy. You call me if you left the lights on, if you left the heat on, if you're out of heat, I'll take care of that for you. I'll be a good, I don't say it like that, but I kind of do. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be a good neighbor, and so does Sherry. We're good neighbors to these people, and they appreciate it. But I said, I only have one request. You don't act like these bunch of flatlanders that leave their lights on all night when they go downstate.
And they all comply. My neighborhood is dark. Now, I have one neighbor, when he comes up, for some reason, he likes his lights on when it's there. I think he's afraid his car is going to get stolen. I'm not sure what he's thinking. But whatever. But I'm saying this. By and large, our neighborhood is dark. And I look up at night, and I see this Milky Way, and it looks like a mess. It just looks like a mess of stars and dust. But it's been placed in order by God. And not only our galaxy, but all the galaxies in the universe. It's been set in order by our God. And our planets, and the motion of the planets, and the motion of the sun. It's all been set in space. And it's not random. It's perfectly designed. These people knew that. And regardless of the fact that we as Christians, and certainly the Jews, were prohibited from studying the astronomy and the stars and things like that, these men were wise men from the East, and they weren't necessarily, although some would say they were monotheistic, they did not convert to Judaism as far as we know. But my point is this, they were brilliant. And they were able to study the stars. And they were able to discern certain events under certain timings in the universe and planetary alignments that made sense. So they came. And they came to Jerusalem. I want to start there. And they got redirected to Bethlehem. Now, these are really wise men. And they would have known some of the writings of the Old Testament clearly. I think without question that they would have had the writings of Daniel. They would have had the writings of a man, if you remember, it's been found in Numbers chapter 24, I believe it is, a pagan prophet named Balaam, who had made certain declarations over Jacob, that the scepter, the rulership, would not depart over Jacob. This is 2,000 years. This is 1,500 years before Jesus' birth. But this is where Balaam hailed from, the same region. And so these writings were passed on, these declarations. Balaam was a decorated and an honored prophet of their land. They would have had his words. And so they had certain things that they had with them. They had part, I said it this way, they had part of God's word because they knew from their studies what these stars meant. And that's why they said, we saw what? They didn't say, we saw a star in the east. What did they say? We saw His star. Words have meaning, church. His star. They knew a king was to be born in Jerusalem. In the land of Judea. What they didn't have, almost certainly, was the writings which came later, the writings of Micah. Because Micah says about Bethlehem, we just read that part of the word there. They had part, and I say it this way, they had part of God's word, but not all of it. And again, this is somewhere that when we read these verses, let's not read over these things. Because when we live our life by part of the word of God and proof text it, we're in trouble. Paul writes this in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. He's at Ephesus. He's saying goodbye to them for the last time. He's raised them up. He was there a number of years doing ministry, and he reached all of Asia Minor from his base camp there in Ephesus. He's ready to leave. He's going to be ultimately going to Jerusalem, and knowing that he's going to be tried and ultimately killed. Paul says these things. He says this to the elders at Ephesus as he's leaving. He says, I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Say that with me. The whole counsel of God. We call it proof texting. I get one verse out of the Bible, and I'm able to, therefore, do what I want to do and say what I want to say because of this proof text, instead of using the whole counsel of God. And I'll say this. This is how cults arise. Let's be clear with you. Cults arise by leaders that they begin quoting things like Hebrews chapter 13, that you have to obey your church leaders. That's a paraphrase of the verse. Okay? Well, what happens is they garner people that will obey them without question. And therefore, you have things like Jim Jones. I was alive, and I'll never forget watching the newscast of Jonestown and what happened down there. That how all those people ultimately took their own lives by suicide but because they fell into a cult. But they were following the proof texting of Jim Jones and these wicked leaders that ultimately led them to their deaths and their destructions. Because they did not study the whole counsel of God. There's another one today. We have to obey the government. Okay, I get that. Until the government violates the scripture. How do you know that? Well, you study Peter. You study Peter. Every time that they said, you're going to have to do this, you can no more speak in the name of Jesus, Peter would respond, you decide what's better, whether to obey the word of God or to obey man's word, but I'm going to obey the word of God, and I cannot stop speaking the words that have been told to me. Right. So what I'm saying is this. So someone can say, well, you got to obey the government. Okay, we do. Until it violates God's law. And then we have to take a stand and say, no, then that's not going to work. God's government is higher. I forget if I said this last week, but I had this with a conversation with the woman who's running for Supreme Court in our state. And we talked about marriage and gay marriage. And this person had performed a ceremony of a same-sex couple. And they billed themselves as a conservative. And they said, well, that happens to be the law, and I have to follow the law. And my question to her was, no, wait a minute. Gave that away. The question to them was, well, okay, but I believe as a judge you don't have to perform weddings. And she said, that's true. And I said, also, I will tell you this about the law, that God's law is always above man's law. So you will be grilled on that point. Just to let you know. I said it nicely, kindly, not mean. God's law supersedes. People say, well, you didn't see the disciples doing this, or you didn't see the disciples doing that. You didn't see them saying this. You know what? The disciples didn't have a First Amendment of free speech. Disciples didn't have a Second Amendment of being able to defend themselves. This is the culture that we're in. We have the right to free speech and other rights. Praise God for that. Don't plan on giving them up. And here's the last one of the proof text, and I'll give you up. Well, love is love. Love is love. And so if a couple loves each other, it doesn't matter, because God says we're supposed to love one another. That's true. We are. We're supposed to really love one another. Like, no kidding. Yes, that's true. Sometimes we don't do too good of a job. But it does not violate the whole counsel of God. That violates the whole counsel of God when we decide to redefine marriage. The wise men had part of the word, but they didn't have the whole word. They needed to follow the whole counsel of God to get where they were going. In fact, I'll jump to that part of the story. It's interesting. They go to Jerusalem, and therefore, King Herod goes to the scribes and the priests saying, hey, what's this Messiah? Where's he supposed to be born? And they knew the word of God, and they said, oh, no, it's Bethlehem. Micah wrote about Bethlehem. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so they tell these wise men, and I thought it was interesting. I'll jump to this part of this passage now. Okay, why didn't Herod go with them? And why didn't these wise men and these scribes go with them? And I'll tell you why. Because they weren't looking for another king. They liked the king that they had. And they were happy under his power because they had all the control that they needed. And they weren't looking for a new Messiah. Quite the contrary. We know that Herod was plotting to murder the child as soon as it came about. I suspect these priests and scribes probably knew about the plan, but I don't know that. Okay, so they said this. These wise men said this word. We saw his star. I'll give you a brief excerpt from the book that I read. It's called The Star That Astonished the World by Ernest Martin. It's a weird book because it's hard to find. And on Amazon, and it's only a little paperback. It's like $90 on Amazon. I said, well, I'm not paying that. But I found it much cheaper at a Christian website. So I got it. Ernest Martin. Here's a summary. I don't want to disappoint you, but according to his studies, and I tend to agree, first of all, Jesus was born, they believe, in his stance is somewhere between 2 B.C. and 3 B.C., possibly in June or in the summertime. That's when he believes that he was born. We don't know that. But he says this, on August 12th, 3 B.C., Jupiter, which is known as the father of the gods of the planets, there was a conjunction with Venus, the female, right? Within the next 9 months, Jupiter would align with Regulus, the king star in Leo, right? The constellation Leo, three separate times. These conjunctions would have shown Jupiter making the crowning the crowning act over the star of Regulus, Regulus being the king star, Jupiter being the king planet. And what you would have seen in the night skies was this. Regulus was a star that's fixed in the near the foot of Leo, the constellation. And this Jupiter was coming this way and would have made a circle and then a circle and a circle over the coming weeks and months. It just kind of, from our perspective, kind of floated around there. Very unusual. In fact, he says this. There had been nothing like this brilliant conjunction for centuries in the past, nor would there be again for many generations to come. So they see these men were brilliant. They studied these things. It was so much, so significant to them that they began heading east with the gifts that they were going to give this newborn king because they knew it was coming. And I love the fact that they weren't coming to worship the one who would be king. They came to worship the one who would be born king, Jesus Christ. He didn't have to become a king. He was a king already. And he came to the earth and put on flesh and he dwelt among us. He was the king already. Thought it's interesting. Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. That's an interesting thing. I'm going to give you a parallel if you ever wonder what that verse means. Why is all Jerusalem troubled just because Herod's troubled? I give you the illustration of a man named Kim Jong-un. You've heard of him. Son of Kim Jong-il. When Kim Jong-il was upset, or Kim Jong-un is upset, the people of North Korea become a little uneasy. Because things aren't going to go well for a lot of people. Whoever their suspicions are focused on are probably going to die. And so that gives an uneasiness not only to the inner circle, but to all the whole nation. They were troubled. I love that verse just because of the historical context. Understand something about this Herod. He's a murderer. He had murdered the high priest, the Jewish high priest. He had murdered his uncle. He had murdered one of his wives. He murdered his mother-in-law. He murdered his brother-in-law. And he murdered three of his sons. This is Herod. Is it any wonder Jerusalem was all up in arms about Herod being up in arms? Okay, so they've gotten their directions. The wise men got the directions where to go. They got the directions from the Word of God. First, from where to go because of clearly knew the Old Testament. And then finally, the scribes and Pharisees says, no, Micah says, you got to go back to Jerusalem, back here, 5 miles or so away. So they got their directions. Secondly, the discovery. The discovery. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, back to that. After they saw the angels, they said this, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see to find out what we found. They came to discover them. You that have, if you have children or grandchildren, do you ever notice something? If they're out playing and you tell them to come in, especially if it's a boy, they'll come in, they'll get there eventually. But they ain't coming straight. We got a dog, her name is Ellie. And she'll be way out in the yard, and we'll say, Ellie, come. Now she ignores this 2 or 3 times. And then she'll come by the longest possible route. And she'll sniff every tree and sniff the shed and sniff the woodpile and make her way back in. The shepherds weren't like that. They got this revelation. They said, let us go straight to Bethlehem and find out what this is that the angels have revealed to us. I put it this way. If you follow a crooked path, you'll get there, but it sure takes a lot longer, church. When we follow the Word of God and His instructions. And then it says, while they were there, it's in verse 17 of Luke. I didn't read it, but I will. While they were there, and when they, speaking of the shepherds, when they had seen this, meaning the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. They're telling Mary, they're telling Joseph, they're telling who else may have been there at the time. You won't believe what happened to me. We are out in the field, these angels show up, one shows up and tells us about this baby, and all of a sudden all these other angels come up, a heavenly host, singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. They said, go to Bethlehem, look in the stable, and look in the manger. And here we are, and sure enough, there it is. They're giving a testimony of something amazing that happened to them. I saw a video on YouTube. It was one of the shorts. They give you shorts. Okay. It was a man in a grocery store, a $20 bill. People were coming by. All ages. I have $20 for you if you can quote one Bible verse. One went by. Five went by. 10 went by. 15 went by. Now again, I don't know if he taped everything. Maybe somebody did, but from what I saw, nobody knew the Word of God. Nobody. They followed the Word of God. They went straight. And they made known through their testimony what had happened to them. The wise men, for their account. Did I give you the D, by the way? Yeah, the discovery, right? Did I say that? If you're filling out your blocks, you'd be mad at me. This is the discovery. The shepherds came and they found what it was, and they gave a testimony to Mary and Joseph. In fact, when they, well, I'll talk about that next, but they're telling these people, and all of a sudden, everybody's encouraged. If something miraculous has happened to you, tell one another. Because I'll tell you what, it makes us feel good. It makes me feel good. The wise men got redirected from Jerusalem back to Bethlehem. I put it this way, because church, some of you have gotten redirected on your journey. I put it this way, you're not on the wrong journey, you're just not done yet. They weren't on the wrong journey, they just weren't done yet. They hadn't arrived yet, but they were on, you know, they're doing the right thing, what they knew of the Word of God. And the writer of that book now says this, will be the last reading I think I have from it. The star, in fact, it says in chapter 2, verse 9 of Matthew, the star came and it stood over where the baby was. Some would say this was sometime later. They believe Jesus was no longer in the stable at this point. Was in a house somewhere in Bethlehem. We don't know where. And a lot of people say, well, this is probably some kind of a weird, miraculous astronomical event. Well, it is miraculous because God has designed this from the beginning of time. But I tend to believe what this writer says, that all these alignments came on the day, on the hour, at the time. And then when these wise men came, by all appearances, and you know what it's like when you're traveling, sometimes you have cloudy skies and you can't see the stars, but it appears that it cleared up. And I'm going to say that to say this. It says the stars stood over where they were, over the baby. Kind of weird. Let me help you with that. By this time, the writer says this, something unusual happened in 2 BC if it were viewed from Jerusalem. Jupiter came to its normal stationary position directly above Bethlehem on December 25th. Isn't that funny? At this position, it was in the middle of the constellation Virgo. The Virgin on that day, the king planet Jupiter stopped its lateral motion through the stars and remained stationary for about 6 days before it began its trip back. Jupiter would have been seen in the meridian position directly over Bethlehem at an elevation of 68 degrees above the southern horizon. The precise location would show the planet shining directly down on Bethlehem while it was stationary among the stars. What he's saying is this, that star or Jupiter had moved. It was directly over where they were. And it stopped. I was looking out my window the other day. Do you notice the sun is really far south, like way, way down in the valley? And it's stopped. It's kind of like it does this, like a pendulum. Now it's coming back. And that's what they're talking about, this period. That at that time, Jupiter had gone, it stopped. And where it would stop geographically, 68 degrees was over Bethlehem, Jerusalem, right there. And then it was starting heading. They already knew that was the end of their trip. They came to the right town. Okay. It says they worshipped and gave Jesus treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm going to move on because I want to finish this message. We've talked about the directions. We've talked about the discovery. And finally, I'll close with this. The departure. The departure. When they went, they saw. And what they saw was Jesus Christ. What they saw was the Messiah, the King of Kings. The shepherds seen him laid in the manger. The wise men being led by the terrestrial events that had been set in place in motion since the beginning of history, that told the most brilliant students of the stars in the world at the time, clearly were these people from Iran, today's Iran, and they came. They knew the significance. They knew the importance. Something big was happening in Israel. When they left, the shepherds, Luke chapter 2, verse 20, the departure, shepherds, Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You see, the shepherds have an attitude of gratitude. I've noticed as an American, I can forget how blessed I am. Is it only me? I can forget how blessed I am. I can forget and take, you know, again, that doesn't mean I'm not concerned about our freedoms taken away. I am. But praise God, now we're free. We're free to worship. We're free to come and go as we want. I can get in my car and drive all the way to, doesn't matter, San Diego. I don't know if I'd like their laws out there, but not the point. Still free. They showed gratitude. And we as Christians, above all things, at times can forget, number one, the fact that we received Jesus Christ somewhere along the line, received our freedom, received an inheritance, received Jesus Christ, received an impartation of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. We've been redeemed. We've been regenerated. We've been blessed. We know the eternal answers. We know our eternal destination, not only of our own, but all of our family that are believers. We know that. But at times we can forget it. We can lose track of that. And it's an attitude of gratitude that keeps that alive, saying, God, thank you every day. I pray if you're part of this fasting, you'll thank God every day for what he has given us. And the wise men, when they left, it says, then being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. The wise men departed another way. I summarize it this way. When you're in the presence of Jesus, we depart another way because transformation is taking place. And I'll close with this. The shepherds and wise men seemed like they found Jesus, but in reality, Jesus had been searching and directing them to himself. Isn't that interesting? Did you ever look at it that way? They found Jesus, but it was the miraculous provision of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And the angels, they didn't have Jesus yet, the incarnation, but they had nature, right? They had all these things I talked about at the beginning of the message. All these things were working into play. And the fact is, Jesus designed it that way for them to find him. He was actually calling for them to come. Isn't that funny? I read this passage and started preaching this passage so many times that I never saw that perspective. I had it backwards. They found Jesus. No, Jesus found them. He directed them to him. They couldn't miss it if they were paying attention. You can put your Bibles away. In fact, it was Jesus' word. Jesus had been searching and directing these people to himself. John chapter 12, verse 32 says this. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, meaning if I'm crucified on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. I will be this authority, this force that is going to be intriguing and attractive to mankind, that they can be redeemed, they can be saved, they can be transformed. It's funny, the priests, the king, and the scribes didn't search the long-awaited Messiah, but the shepherds did. The wise men did. I close with this story. It's about a search. In fact, I'll ask the worship team to come up, begin to come up. It's one of my favorite stories. When I was in college, one of my literature classes was a number of Hemingway stories. So I'm not here to endorse Ernest Hemingway. Frankly, I believe he was probably an atheist, but we had to read his stories anyway. One of his stories, I think it's called The Capital of the World. It's talking about Madrid, Spain. It's about a story of a father and his young son named Paco. I love it. No one could really say why the teenage boy named Paco had run away. Or perhaps he didn't. Maybe he was kicked out from his home by his father for something foolish that he said or he did. Either way, Paco found himself wandering the streets of Madrid, Spain, with hopes of entering into a profession that may have well gotten him killed, the profession of bullfighting. But losing his son was the last thing the father wanted, which is why the father tried something he desperately hoped would work. There was no chance the father would be able to find Paco by wandering the streets of the large city of Madrid. Instead, he put an advertisement in the Madrid city newspaper. The advertisement simply read, Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. La Papa. When the father went to the Hotel Montana Tuesday at noon, there stood nearly 800 young men named Paco waiting for their fathers and waiting to receive the forgiveness they thought was never possible. I say that to say this. Worship team, please come up. I say that to say this. I'm not here to even get theological. I discuss this with somebody I love all the time. They are more of a Calvinistic approach. And I'm not here to talk about that one way or the other. But I will say this. Jesus is seeking mankind. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost and to redeem us. Amen? And so I am thankful that on that day that I received Jesus as a teenager, what role I played, I don't know, but I know the role that he played. He was drawing me to himself. He's drawn you to himself. That's why you're here today. He's drawn you. The question I always get into with my loved one is, well, he would say that people don't have the right to refuse that calling. Some say they do. I'm not really here to get into a theological debate. I know this. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He has offered himself to me. Amen? He has offered himself to you. I want you to stand as we have a closing song. We're going to sing about something. I think it's fitting that we finish this, what we call the Christmas season series, speaking the name Yeshua. God is salvation. Jesus, the one who is able to deliver us, the one who is able to save us, the one who is able to redeem us, the one who is able to guide us. God of the universe put on human form and came to mankind. That's the name we're going to sing today about, Jesus. God, we thank you, Father. As it seems, we were searching for us. At times, you were searching for us as well. We were searching for you. You were searching for us. So God, however you made that connection, whatever method you use to reveal yourself to those in this room, those within the hearing of my voice, and those that you're still calling that have yet to come home, God, I just pray, Father, that you'll draw all of us closer to you in the coming days as we lay things in our lives aside to move you further up the priority pole. God, I pray you reveal yourself to us more and more. God, as we close today, we are singing that precious name of Jesus, Yeshua, Emmanuel, God with us. And for that, we thank you for Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we close today, the altars are open. If you have a special need, we ask you to please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. Our God is here. He's a God who heals. He's a God who saves. He's a God who redeems. He's a God who answers prayer. Not always in our timing, but he always answers. Sing with us the name of Jesus.
family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus.
Christ worship, those words mean. I trust that you've been able to spend time focusing not on the hustle and the bustle and the gifts and the wrappings and the trappings, and I'm not against those. But I hope you were reminded, not just in this house, but in your house, the gift that was given to us, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift to all mankind for eternity. Amen. God, we thank you for that precious name of Jesus. Is it any wonder when Peter encountered the lame beggar at the gate beautiful? Peter said, I don't have silver. I don't have gold. But I do have something. It's a name. And I have that name that can strengthen your legs. I have that name that can make you stand up strong and whole. I have that name that can let you finally enter the beautiful gate and worship with the rest of us. Here's that name. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, bloodstream be healed and diabetes be stricken. And pain in the central nervous system and the spine be eradicated. And constant viruses and sicknesses be eliminated in that name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And depression be removed. God, in these coming weeks especially, we're focusing on you. And we're asking for the miraculous that only you can do. Transform our nation. Transform our hearts. Set the captive free. We're being unduly kept. God, thank you, Father. Your name is preeminent in this house and in our lives. The name of Jesus. There is no other name above that name, Jesus Christ. For that we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated just for a moment as we prepare. I thought about as I prepared, I want to just encourage you. I hope as you come to this house that you believe, I certainly do, you receive the whole counsel of God. We in this house, we preach from Genesis to Revelation, from the index to the maps. It's the whole Word of God. We don't take it out of context. We trust, you know, we're not perfect by far, but I trust that you, like Paul says, I did not fail to deliver you the whole counsel of God. I trust that's what you're receiving here, and I trust that's what you're receiving in your study time. It's all one testament. It testifies of God and Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you'll give your attention to the screen, a couple things before we release you, and then we'll just say goodbye. So the 2nd to the 22nd, this is a consider how you could be part of our time of fasting and prayer. Wednesday evening time, we'll focus on a video teaching by Haley Braun on the Holy Spirit. I know Sherry's been working on that. She says it's awesome. I have yet to see it. I'm looking forward to that for the weeks that I'm here. I have one I know I have to be away from, unfortunately. I'll have to catch up. Anything on that besides what's there? Okay. All right. Next slide, please. Weekly prayer then is on this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Again, come join us, and the video will be shown that night, right? So hope you can join us. 6 o'clock Wednesday. Next. Return of the Gods. We start this off again this Saturday, January 7th at 8:30 p.m. The feedback has been tremendous, and I've heard a lot of people just really enjoy that. So come and join us if you can. It's a great time to get together Saturday in the cafe, January 7th. Greatest Generation, next Sunday, 2 p.m., Manor Care. As far as we know, this is still on, and we're still restricted how many people we're able to bring. So, but we will be ministering there because when we go, Life Tree goes. We represent you. And I will say this, having a brother now that is in assisted living, it is wonderful that out there churches come in and they do the service and he's able to attend. Can you imagine that for whatever reason something happens in your life, whether it's mental or whether it's physical, and you can no longer go to church? We take it for granted, and these people love it, and they tear up simply because they're hearing the gospel, and they're singing gospel songs, many of them that they grew up with and knew. So again, it's such an important ministry. We just want to thank you because it's Life Tree. We don't go as ourselves. We go as Life Tree and part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next. All right, look it up. Turn that off. It's not doing that outside. Praise God. Would you please stand as I would just bless you guys. God, I pray, God, you will bless us. Let your face shine upon us. God, I pray your grace, your power, your wisdom, your strength will go with us today. Father, be with us in the coming days. And as we begin this new year, God, we pray you will be preeminent in our thoughts, in our time, and in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.